Pastor Ed Taylor says it's always a good idea to tell the truth and be careful when you're fearful.
You might be afraid to lose integrity or, you know, lose face, so you lie. You might be afraid to lose your job, so you lie. You might be afraid to lose the image that you've carefully crafted, and so you lie. And I would just tell you, it's not good to lie. Tell the truth. And be careful and watch out for fear. It'll make you do things you never wanted to do.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Well, maybe you're facing what looks to be an impossible situation today. Today on Abounding Grace, be encouraged as we have a look at Genesis chapter 18 and the story of Abraham and Sarah. Now just picture it. Sarah is 90 years of age, well past childbearing age, and yet the Lord tells her and her husband that about this time next year, Sarah will have a son. Here's Pastor Ed Taylor to tell us more about an unexpected visit.
Take your Bibles, open them to Genesis chapter 18, verse by verse through the book of Genesis on our midweek Bible study. And on the weekends, we're in the book of Acts. So God has us as a church going back to beginnings. Not only the beginning of everything in the heart of God for the world, but then on the weekends, the beginning of the church. And what does God want from his church? And we're studying right now the life of Abraham, this man of great faith. And at the ripe old age of 99, he was circumcised. And although that would be a very painful thing for a man that's 99 years old, it's really an act of obedience. And it reminds us that obedience sometimes is very painful, and it has a long-lasting pain attached to it. I mean, it's far more painful to live a life of disobedience. I like to think in my own life, if I can remember properly walking in the Spirit, that I would much rather have the consequences of obedience than the consequences of disobedience. Because I think in living in the dark world that we're in right now, it's going to be painful either way. You have a world that's antagonistic toward God. You have a world filled with temptations, the world, the flesh, and the devil always pressing in. So there is going to be pain. Jesus said there will be tribulation. To have good cheer, he's overcome the world. But here, Abraham's in a good place. He's now within a chapter at a high point in his life. He's obedient, he's compassionate, he's hospitable, and these are wonderful byproducts of living by faith. I asked you to open to Genesis 18. Would you hold your place there? Let's go back to Galatians for a moment. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And when you get there, I want to draw your attention to verse 7. As Paul is writing to the believers in the region of Galatia, he has some strong, encouraging words. And he says in Galatians 6, 7, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And of the many things we learn in this section of Scripture in Galatians, we learn that we can expect great things in our lives when we live righteously sowing spiritual things. You can have an expectation from God to reap what you sow. Hey, I know that on the negative side of this, that's probably the way that we use this most often, as a warning, don't sow to the flesh, it's not going to end good, and that's true. But I also want you to know the same truth applies to those that sow in the Spirit. You can expect God to honor his word, that you'll reap everlasting life. When you sow to the Spirit, your family will be blessed, your home will be blessed, your workplace will be blessed. And I think the issue that Paul attaches this to is weariness. It's weary. You can get weary sowing to the flesh, but you can also grow weary sowing to the Spirit. Like consciously, continually, I mean, imagine God comes to you at the age of 99 and says, look, here's the sign and the seal of my covenant. You need to get circumcised physically, and all the males need to be circumcised. In order to sow to the Spirit, that's going to be painful. There will be pain attached to it. It's not the pain of sin. It's the pain of obedience. And in a world that we try to avoid so much pain and suffering, it's best just to say, you know what, Lord? I know it's coming, and I know it's going to come is with this fight and the battle for righteousness in my life, but I can sow to the Spirit. And when you and I sow to the Spirit, we won't be disappointed. It may take a day or a week or a month or maybe even years, but you can bank on this promise. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. And I would be remiss if I didn't warn you, if you sow to the flesh, it might be a day, it might be a week, it might be a month or years, but you will reap the consequences of sowing to the flesh. So here's a high point in Abraham's life, verse 1 of chapter 18. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees at Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. So here's Abraham resting, taking a nap in the heat of the day. I think spiritually you could say he's resting in the Lord, because when you're obedient, you can rest. You rest better when you live a life of obedience. There's a real peace and rest associated with abiding in Christ. And I think Abraham's experiencing this long before the new covenant. And then out of nowhere, these three visitors show up. And, you know, Abraham doesn't know it yet, but these are actually two angels and the Lord himself. This is a Christophany or a theophany. You see it later on. If you just want to see it, jump over to verse 22 of chapter 18. The men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood, notice, before the Lord. And again in verse 33, so the Lord went his way as soon as he would finish speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. And then in verse 1 of chapter 19, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself and his face toward the Lord. You got two angels and a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Pre-incarnate means before the eternal Son of God took on a human body in the womb of Mary, he appeared from time to time. And this was one of those appearances. Now notice, when Abraham sees them, he has such a broad, deep heart of hospitality that he runs out to them and invites them to stay. And, you know, put this into context. Abraham's 100 years old. The guy just got circumcised. He's resting on a hot day, and he runs to them to care for them. I mean, it's stepping into the situation, taking advantage and opportunity to meet the Lord. Or in this case, all he knows yet is to meet these visitors. But knowing that this is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord, let me ask you a question. How do you meet the Lord today? And what is your attitude? What does that look like? I mean, we have a familiar routine. The alarm goes off in the morning, and then we have a choice. Many hit a button that says, I'm going back to sleep, and we hit it. And I don't even have that on mine anymore. And I use my phone. How many of you use your phone for an alarm now? Yeah, so it takes a long time to find that little button. You're just like, ah, you know, and if you have the wrong alarm on, and it just really wakes you up, and you can't go back to sleep. But then what do you do? I mean, is it just the drudgery of the day and the difficulties before you? Or is there a consciousness of the presence of God? How do you meet the Lord in the morning? First thought. Because he is there. You know, it's time, an opportunity for times of devotion or prayer, or have on that same phone that's your alarm, you can download the Bible app and have it read to you in the morning as the Word of God is being saturating your heart. I mean, do you get up in the morning and go, oh, Lord, it's so good to be with you? Or do you wake up in the morning and say, good Lord, it's morning. I better get off to work. Another thing I notice here is how normal this situation is. So I think we over-spiritualize things in our relationship with God, but this is very normal. Got a guy resting, healing up after a surgery. He's on the heat of the day. He sees visitors. It's customary. It's hospitable to go out to them. And it's interesting that God comes to him in the form of a human being, appearing to Abraham in a very natural way. A very natural way. Even though it was very much a supernatural event, it happened very normally. And how often I think that God is trying to speak to us and appear among us and interact with us, but we miss him. We want something more dramatic. We want the audible voice. Speak to me from heaven and I'll know it's you, God. We're expecting the ground to rumble like Elijah did. But so often the Lord speaks to us in very normal ways. As our pastor, Pastor Chuck Smith, once said, God often operates supernaturally in very natural ways. And most of the time, God's speaking to you through his word. So you know, if you're not reading the Bible, then you're not going to hear from the Lord. You're missing a very easy opportunity just taking it in and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a very real way in his word. And I know every time I open the Bible, I know he is speaking. I know that he is. And for me, as well as the discipleship here, we train the men to carry their Bibles around. I know you can use your phone. I know you can, but the Bible represents something. Even at times I'll use it like, this isn't just a decoration on the pulpit. This is my Bible. This is my Bible, the one that I've used since I was a new believer. Actually, it's the second one. I was looking not too long ago. I was just looking through, and this was a gift from my mom back in 1995, because the first Bible that I had like this was destroyed. I mean, it was all tore up. It's in my office as a reminder. My mom saw it and said, I think I'm going to get you a new Bible, son. And I'm like, great, because we got no money. So please get us a Bible. And moms and dads, you guys are a blessing that way so many times. And I use it and I show you and I open it. And even today, this morning, I officiated a memorial. And it's, to me, it's very important that everyone in that room see the authority that I stand in that pulpit with. You walk in differently when you have the authority. But until it's an authority in your life, you'll never treat the Bible that way. Hey, I'm not opposed to, I do my devos on my iPad in the morning. I have that. I have a devo book and some scripts, you know, my Bible program. I use technology. I'm not opposed to technology at all. I think we should use the latest and greatest technology to reach every generation. I'm not opposed to it. However, there's something powerful about this book. There's something powerful about opening it up and using it and remembering this is the authority in your life. You guys know on the weekends when we read a psalm together, I share, open up your Bibles and let's stand. Let's stand in respect for God's word, a reminder that we stand on the authority of God's word, and it's also a reminder that we stand under the authority of God's word and that you have a Bible. And that you use it, and that it becomes the tool in your life. You want to hear from God? Read your Bible. That's tweetable. You guys should be. You want to read from God? And then, of course, when I say tweetable, some people say, do people still use Twitter? Yes. Old people like us still use Twitter. You want to hear from God? Open up your Bible. Stop complaining you don't hear from God. Read your Bible. And then, of course, I'm going to hear somebody, but I do read my Bible. Well, then maybe you need to examine yourself and see in a very natural way God has been speaking all along. And just do what he tells you to do. Pray over. Read your Bible every day and pray every day. And you'll see that God's operating all around you. It doesn't have to be some supernatural goosebumps. I got chills that God is speaking to me. No, it's not always that. I remember, it made me think. I remember a few times over the years, we get all kinds of feedback for the church. And this is actually a familiar one. But I had one guy in particular that I remember he'd come up after a service he was visiting. And he says, you know, Pastor, it's real quiet in here. You guys are on the verge of doing great things, but it's so quiet. And I'm like, well, what do you mean, man? And he was used to yelling, screaming, you know, jumping up and down and all sorts of, you know, charismatic response in the church that he came from. And he wasn't used to a quiet room where we are giving place to the Holy Spirit to speak to us through the teaching of his word. That's the primary. If you see and examine the life of Jesus Christ, the primary ministry of Jesus was not healing. It was not the kind of humanitarian things that God in human flesh did. His primary ministry was preaching and teaching. That's where life change comes. And so the brother goes, oh, you know, it's really, really quiet. Well, another Sunday, somebody comes after service, pretty close to that because I put them together, and they said, you know, it's too loud here, too much moving in the sanctuary. And I'm like, man, why don't you just come to church with an attitude of listening to the Lord? Why does everything bother you? Why, and maybe this is a word for someone here. Maybe you're like, I am that guy. All right, maybe you are. And so just in a very real way, let me ask you, what's your problem? Listen to the Lord. Wherever you might be, tune your ears to the Lord. If it's too quiet for you, so be it. If it's too loud for you, so be it. If you are here by the will of God, he is ready to speak. He is ready to give you in a very natural way the information, the knowledge, the wisdom that you're seeking from him. Very natural. Verse 6 now. Come back to Genesis 18. So Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. And so he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. It's interesting, in the hospitality of the home, both Sarah and Abraham were involved. It wasn't just delegated to Sarah. Abraham also was involved, and he was also part of the service and the ministry to these visitors. It's important that you understand that it's togetherness in your marriage. It is not a man's job or a woman's job. It is the servant of the Lord's job to take care of those that are before you. So they both had a role. I like that. Verse 9, then they said to him, where's Sarah, your wife? And he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord, notice again, as you see in verse 13, you see the word Lord is in capital letters in a reference to Jehovah. So this is where we learn here is one of these visitors is God in human flesh. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? And mark this, is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Can I just take a note? We won't develop it today, but can you just notice here? The fear of man can lead you to lie. I know that many of us, if we were asked, are you a liar? Most of us would say, no, I'm a very honest person. And I'm certain that Sarah was a very honest person as well. But because of fear, she lied. And that's one of the traps of the fear of man. You might be afraid to lose integrity or, you know, lose face, so you lie. You might be afraid to lose your job, so you lie. You might be afraid to lose the image that you've carefully crafted, and so you lie. And I would just tell you, it's not good to lie. Tell the truth. And be careful and watch out for fear. It'll make you do things you never wanted to do. So Sarah starts baking. He gets the main course. They put it all together. Abraham's serving in the kitchen. Sarah's serving in the kitchen. They're working together. And then the question comes, where is your wife? And Sarah was listening in, it says in verse 10. We learn that they're far beyond the years of childbearing, which caused Sarah to laugh here. She felt it was silly. And yet in verse 13, she's busted by the Lord. She's busted on it, to which she denies, of course. And to me, that's incredible because I'm reminded that God knows my thoughts. That's one of the challenges that we have when we're ministering to people is we don't know what's going on in your mind or your heart. Nobody knows. Sometimes we don't even know our own hearts. However, God knows. There's nothing hidden from him. And there's no need to continue to live a life of pretense. He knows. And I think to some degree, there's a lot about ourselves that we know, but then we believe lies about ourselves. And in believing lies, you may forget conveniently that you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have been passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That victory is yours by faith. And to me, the Lord knows our thoughts and then can repeat them back to us in an instant. And we need to be careful, even as we're ministering to people, the way that hearts are revealed, the Bible says, Jesus teaches us, that out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Which one is it? It's mouth. Which one, whatever one it is, which one was it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay. So we won't edit that. We'll just see. I misquoted it. So I'll quote it correctly. Listen, if you can get someone talking, eventually they're going to show their heart. Which is why it's important to be a trustworthy person in ministry. Which you could turn that word around and learn. It's important that you're worthy of someone's trust. Because the more someone trusts you, the more they'll share with you. And we talk about this when somebody joins our team. We talk about confidentiality. We talk about the word confidence. And then we talk about the person that we've all heard, and hear it on the news from time to time, the con man. You know, a con man will seek to earn your confidence so that they could take advantage of you and take from you. And nobody in here needs to be, don't be, if you are, repent. If you're a con man, this place, the body of Christ, the family of God, this church in particular, any church for that matter, is not a place for you to go and take advantage of people and to earn their trust so that you can take from them, steal from them, and hurt them financially, emotionally, it doesn't matter. We don't want to be a church filled with or allowing, you know, Jesus wouldn't use the word con man. He'd use the words, he'd use the phrase wolf in sheep's clothing. But on the flip side of that, while a con man will take your confidence and use it to hurt you, a servant of the Lord will take your confidence and use it to help you. That's a profound difference.
Well, thank you for joining us today as we study through Genesis and learn of God's abounding grace. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Ed Taylor. Are you interested in hearing this again? It's easy to do when you visit AboundingGraceRadio.com or through our church app. Just do a search for Ed Taylor in the App Store or Google Play to download that to your mobile device. We're also on OnePlace.com. Well, this month we're featuring an excellent book by Andrew Murray simply entitled Humility. In this challenging book, Murray calls the reader to turn from pride and empty themselves just as Jesus did. Join the journey toward holiness as you read, soak in, and apply humility to your life. It's yours for a gift of $25 or more to Abounding Grace. Call toll-free at 877-30-GRACE. Again, we're at 877-30-GRACE. And by the way, you can also order this through our e-store at calvaryco.store. And thank you for your support, as it allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to stations like this one every day. We're constantly hearing from folks all over the world that are being blessed, and your gifts are helping to make that possible. You can donate through our website at AboundingGraceRadio.com. And here's a question for you. How has Abounding Grace blessed you? We want to hear about it. It's easy to share your thoughts and prayer requests at AboundingGraceRadio.com. Scroll down to the bottom of our homepage and connect with us. We'll return to Genesis next time out on Abounding Grace with Pastor Ed Taylor. We'll see you then.
This is Amazing Grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.